The Cascadia subduction zone is like an actor waiting just off stage. We know it's there. We know it can deliver a devastating earthquake. We just don't know when or just how big. So we get constant reminders to be prepared for a big Cascadia quake, and Oregon Emergency Management, OEM, is always looking for ways to get those reminders out. Those ways now include a comic book. Oregon is not just home to earthquake potential, it is also home to Dark Horse Comics, publisher of many successful comic titles, many of which have also been made into movies. Dark Horse and OEM teamed up to publish Without Warning, a comic book depicting a Cascadia quake and the immediate aftermath. Althea Rizzo is the Geologic Hazards Program Coordinator at Oregon Emergency Management and one of our guests on The Exchange. Hi, Althea.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. It's good to have you here. Nick McWhorter joins us as well. He's the Vice President of Media Licensing at Dark Horse Comics. Hi, Nick.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Sure enough. Let's start with you, Althea. Talk about the general realm of information you're trying to push out to the public about the Cascadia Zone and what can happen here.
Sure. So the Cascadia Subduction Zone is where we have two tectonic plates meeting right off of our shores. And this means that Oregon is susceptible to very large earthquakes and tsunamis. And since we don't have a lot of earthquakes and tsunamis here in Oregon, not very frequently anyway, education is always a challenge, and especially trying to reach the younger set. And so this is why we wanted to work to develop the comic book, is to reach the younger folks.
Is there a comic book fan within OEM who hit upon the idea of doing this?
Maybe. Yes.
Would that be you?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Good to know. Nick McWhorter, were you the first person approached at Dark Horse about this? In fact, would you give us a little background on Dark Horse for the folks who haven't read a comic book lately?
Yeah. So Dark Horse Comics, based out of little Milwaukee, Oregon, just south of Portland, we're the third largest comic book company in the United States. I think we all know the first two are the Marvel and DC with all the blockbuster films. But we really specialize, as opposed to superheroes, in licensed entertainment comics, like your Star Wars, Conan the Barbarian, and create our own comics, such as Hellboy and Sin City, among others.
And how did the connection develop between you guys and OEM about making Without Warning?
Yeah, so Althea reached out to us, reached out to myself and Andrea Sanders, who manages our custom publishing programs, about they had seen another comic that the CDC had done that was kind of doing a comparison of a disease outbreak to zombies, and it was very engaging to kids and to teens. We certainly were interested in working with them and trying to develop some kind of program to give awareness for kids about earthquakes and the kind of dangerous region we are in for that. And helping to prepare them through an entertaining and engaging comic book.
And so, Althea, so back to the audience you're trying to reach here, though. I mean, you're aiming for teenagers, and I don't know, is comic readership generally still mostly boys?
There's actually a fair amount of young women that read comic books, and we purposely chose a female protagonist just to make sure that, you know, we're reaching into as many different areas as we possibly can.
All right. And is it just, I mean, obviously everybody needs to know the information, but is there a particular value in having it in the hands of teenagers as bright and as mobile as they can be?
Certainly, because what we wanted to do is the character, the main character in the book, is the story is she has to get across town after the earthquake because she has her little sister's birthday present in her backpack. And so as she's moving across town, she's doing all of the things that she should be doing. She's using tools and supplies and skills that she's learned. So this is really an empowering story about, you know, young women can take control and be awesome in emergency situations.
And Angie is very calm. I got to give her credit for that. But as you point out, she's got more than just her her sister's birthday present in her backpack. She's also got a bit of a kit there. So Angie is actually depicted as a CERT member, isn't she? A community emergency response team. We had somebody from Ashland CERT in here yesterday. It's a pretty fresh subject.
Right. So she is a member of Team CERT, which is Community Emergency Response Teams. These are volunteer groups that are neighborhood-based, and their whole purpose is to be useful in emergency situations, and they get a lot of training, and it's a great community to work with.
Interesting. There's a level of antagonism in here from one of her fellow students who talks about, hey, what else you got in that backpack? So it's interesting that you put that in there too.
Well, emergency management does not tend to be very cool among teenagers, and so this is actually, you know, a attitude that we frequently get is that, you know, earthquakes don't happen here. You know, what's the likelihood? And the fact is that they do happen here, and the likelihood is very high that we could have these large earthquakes. And so this kind of education is very important to make sure that people know that they can take power in these kinds of situations and create their own safety.
We're talking about the comic book called Without Warning, which is a joint project of Dark Horse Comics, for which Nick McWhorter works, and Oregon Emergency Management, for which Althea Rizzo works. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the project and who it reaches and how. Join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Althea, did you get a writing credit for this?
There is a small byline there, but most of the credit really goes to the artists and the writers at Dark Horse. They've been tremendous partners and a delight to work with.
And so, Nick, who led the project, and how do you pull together the creative team for something like this?
Yeah, so for this project, there's a local studio of writers and artists here in Portland called Periscope. And we reached out to them. They're great to go to for these kinds of projects, you know, not only because, you know, sometimes you have these where it's a tight time frame and you really need a good local team to work on it, but also being local and being something that's really, you know, about our area here in Oregon. It's a great opportunity if there's, you know, different interviews and features and things like that that come up. The writer is actually a former Dark Horse editor, Jeremy Barlow, who worked on Star Wars, among other titles. So, you know, actually a very proficient writer, working on a lot of different comics over the years. And the artist was David Hahn, who did the cover and interiors.
And did he do the inking too? I mean, pencils and inks?
Yes, did pencils and inks.
All right. And Jeremy Barlow, as you pointed out, has some history in comics. He's got quite a few titles to his name.
Yeah. So he worked at Dark Horse for many years as an editor. He also was a writer on various comics for Dark Horse, among other companies. In addition, he wrote some different video game scripts. So definitely, you know, had a lot of years under his belt writing before he went on to become a freelance writer.
So guys in comics, I'm sure, have their own way of working, but then you have to merge these efforts with the needs of a state agency to distribute useful information. So, Althea, can you talk about how long and detailed the process this was?
So what we did is we had our advisory committee put together the information that we wanted to convey through the comic book, and we worked up a storyline, basically Angie having to cross town and do the right things and have the right tools in her backpack, and then turned that information over to the team at Dark Horse, who created the actual script and the artwork.
Then
there was some back and forth, and, you know, getting all the details correct, and the process moved forward.
So, Nick, was this somewhat of a different process because you're answering to something of a creative force with needs outside the house, outside the usual confines of comic book land?
You know, actually, it wasn't. When we work on any kind of licensed entertainment comic, you know, a Lucasfilm, you know, 20th Century Fox, Universal, we're used to a regular approval process of story. Create, you know, all the different creative stages of story, pencils, inks, colors, design. So we have doing licensed comics for nearly 30 years now. We've got a pretty well-oiled system to go through that process, and we can apply that same process to working with government groups like the Oregon Emergency Management Group.
Licensed comics, meaning the whole concept belongs to somebody else ultimately?
Yeah, that we, you know, we license the rights to entertainment properties like Star Wars, Aliens, Conan the Barbarian, those kinds of things. So those aren't properties that Dark Horse owns, so we need to make sure that we're kind of following the rules of those properties and running them by the licensor.
So how many people are usually involved in the whole chain of delivery then? I mean, how many people involved with a typical comic book, and was it different at all, really, with Without Warning?
Yeah, I mean, all the people involved are, you know, internal, the project managers, which was myself and Andrea Sanders, the editor, who is maintaining the schedule, hiring all the freelance talent, and then you have all the different talent on the book, you know, your writer, your artist. We have internal, you know, an internal design department, and then run it out to print. So quite a few different people come together to get any given comic book out. You know, with this one, it was a little bit different in that it was a local project. We're not talking about going through the big distribution circle that we would do if we were releasing a comic, you know, across the country or internationally. But besides that, the actual creative process is not dissimilar to a typical licensed comic that we would do with a big entertainment company.
And again, the comic we're talking about here in the Jefferson Exchange is Without Warning, put out by Dark Horse Comics in conjunction with the Oregon Emergency Management, OEM, to depict what life would be like in a Cascadia earthquake and the immediate aftermath. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments for Althea Rizzo and Nick McWhorter, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Althea, how long between the time that there was first contact made with Dark Horse to the to getting, for example, the first pencil drawings?
It was about 6 weeks, I would say.
Wow, that seems pretty fast.
They were wonderfully fast and very efficient. They were wonderful to work with.
And so what was it like? I mean, did you go down to Periscope Studios and take a look at the stuff, or were they just emailing you chunks, or how did this all work out?
It was all done by email. Wonderful technology these days. I would love to have been able to go down, but schedules being what they are, it's sometimes much more efficient just to share documents via email.
So in the process of seeing the first couple of rounds of things, were there any changes that had to be made or things that you would suggest, like, this really doesn't depict quite what we were thinking here?
Well, there was a few tweaks, but for the most part, their writers and artists did a good job on doing their background research. So they were very quick about getting the turnarounds and changes made.
Background research, Nick McWhorter, this is a different process from working with a superhero comic, certainly, where you can kind of make things up as you go along. I mean, within the mythos of a character, but with licensed media, you got to be a little more careful, it sounds like, to make sure that you're hitting all the right corners.
Yeah. I mean, in this case, you know, the writers and the artists had to look at, you know, the maps of the subduction zones, and much of which was provided to us. But had to look that up and follow it. And of course there's, you know, looking at things in a realistic setting, which was a coastal town. There's certainly a different kind of research than, you know, looking at lightsabers and blasters and spaceships and things
right.
like that.
And it is a mythical town. Is the town ever identified? The high school, I notice, is Cascadia High School, Althea, but, is it never ever identified as a particular town?
No, we wanted to create a publication that could be used in Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia, because our funders, it's a Cascadia Region Earthquake Work Group, encompasses that region. And so this publication will be used regionally and internationally.
Cascadia Region Earthquake Work Group, CREW. Tell us a bit about that, how long it's been in existence and what it does.
So that's been in existence about 20 years, and our purpose is to help states and businesses mitigate and prepare for earthquakes in the Pacific Northwest. And we're funded out of FEMA through the National Earthquake Hazards Reduction Program, NEHRP. And so this is a group of volunteers that come out of emergency management and business in various places to come together to work on earthquake preparedness.
There are some interesting choices in tone in this comic book, without warning. It's actually fairly bright in color and shading, even through the initial representation of the earthquake, which shows violent shaking and parts falling off of Cascadia High School and everything. Was that a conscious choice not to make this too scary, Althea?
Well, we wanted a certain amount of realism, but we also didn't want to make it so scary that kids didn't want to engage in the process.
All right, so you want to give kids a few thrills and chills, but not the kind where they're going to just be scared away from it.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a call here. We have Mark in Reading on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about Without Warning, the comic book from Dark Horse Comics and Oregon Emergency Management.
Yes, even though I'm not a comic book collector myself, I'm wondering, are you making this available to comic book collectors? I suspect that there would be some interest due to the fact it's a short run and one-off.
Good question for that. Go ahead, Althea.
It is available. You can request a copy by contacting the Oregon Office of Emergency Management, and we would be happy to send you out a copy. It's also available for download and viewing on e-readers and mobile devices.
Not likely to end up in anybody's collection and ever gain quite perhaps the value of Action Comics number one, which I guess sold for about $2.3 million last week. But this is something to be proud of, isn't it, Althea?
I'm very proud of this publication. And while I can hope that, you know, someday it will be worth millions of dollars, what I'm more hopeful is that it will engage kids in creating their own safety and their own preparedness, and so that they can be safe when earthquakes happen.
Nick, you mentioned the comic book about zombies and the CDC. I mean, did that one seem to get much traction? I mean, I'm just curious about the distribution and beyond the physical placing in people's hands, what kind of feedback you might be getting on projects like this from people who've had a chance to see them.
Oh, sure. The zombie comic was awesome. The kids, you know, love zombies. And so when we were trying to find a more earthquake-centric publication, we really kind of wanted to use that edginess and that little bit of, you know, danger in our own comic book.
Well, it definitely has a comic book look when you look at it is a comic book, but you look at the cover and it is the Without Warning, and it's got the graphic and Angie on the cover with the ground splitting beneath her feet. So it certainly has the good kind of grabber look there. We talked about the distribution, so there are hard copies to go out there, but what are the general, I mean, you talked about all the ways it's going out there. How many hard copies did you have made, Angie? I mean, Althea, sorry. Call me by your character's name.
We had originally 10,000 copies made.
Physical copies?
Physical copies, yes.
And where do those go?
They are being distributed out to schools. We're sending them out to search groups. They are going out to various emergency management groups. And so we are distributing them through a lot of different channels.
And Nick McWhorter, when we talk about the digital versions of this, that it'll work, I got the PDF on the desktop computer here at work to be able to look at it. Any particular things that the comic book industry has had to get used to in order to size things for mobile devices?
So I'll pause just to let people know digitally where they can access this. So you can get it through a browser. Dark Horse has its own digital interface. It's called Dark Horse Digital. You can go to digital.darkhorse.com and just search Without Warning. You can also download the Dark Horse app. It's available for Android as well as iTunes, and read it on your mobile devices. So just kind of covering that one. The whole industry has had to adjust to digital. Certainly print is strong and print is the core of our business. But we did make a move a few years back to having our own digital app that's out there. And digital interface so that people could access our comic on mobile devices, on browsers, and it's a platform agnostic system. So if you have your account, buy your comics or download your free comics, and go to a different device or whatever, it's all right there. The only unique exception is, of course, things like Kindle and Nook, which go through those retailers of Amazon and Barnes & Noble, respectively.
Okay, but digital.darkhorse.com is a good way to get to you guys, it sounds like.
Yes.
All right, and we'll make sure that that's available on our various web entities themselves today. Althea, this hasn't been out for more than just a couple of weeks now, right?
Yes, it came out on the 20th, and we've had tremendous response for it. We've been shipping them out as fast as our little fingers can work.
Are you? So there must be requests coming in for them then.
Yeah, we've got a lot of requests from teachers and community groups, neighborhood watch groups have been, and then individuals, somebody wanted them for their grandkids, which I'm very thrilled to hear.
That's a nice thing to say. The comic book does go a little pamphlety in the back. You've got checklists and things like that, but ultimately you have to deliver people to a sense of firmer information than just entertainment, I'm sure.
Right, so that part of that couple of pages gives the checklist for what could go into a goat kit. It gives some web addresses for people looking for more information. And what we really would like to see is, you know, teenagers start these search groups in their own high schools so that they can help keep themselves and their friends better prepared, because we're going to be relying on each other after Cascadia for help.
And so what did OEM pay for this, and did FEMA money help pay for it?
Yeah, FEMA actually paid for this. It was, if Nick doesn't mind me saying, it was $22,000 for the all of the artwork and the 10,000 copies. So they were very wonderful to work with.
$22,000 for the whole ball of wax, that was it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that doesn't sound like a lot. Nick, is that a pretty cheap comic book by your standards?
Well, you know, when it's a little different if we're working with, government or a nonprofit. You know, we want to support these kinds of local efforts. So, you know, if, let's say, AT&T contacted us and wanted to do some big nationwide campaign, it'd be a little different, you know, pricing structure, as you can imagine.
Okay, I appreciate that knowledge. Nick McWhorter is the Vice President of Media Licensing at Dark Horse Comics. Althea Rizzo, the Geologic Hazards Program Coordinator, Oregon Emergency Management. The comic book produced by Dark Horse at OEM is called Without Warning, available online. Find it at our website at jeffexchange.org and on Facebook as well. Althea and Nick, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right, take
care.